Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast, located in the heart of the Black Hills. Our focus is to live, grow, love, and serve for the sole purpose to make Jesus known.
Well, good morning. It's Easter Sunday. Oh, come on. Friday night, we had a very beautiful service here Friday night. We just talked scripture, we read scripture together, we worshiped together a little bit. We left in silence, we came in silence, but that was Friday night. You see, Friday night was a time of mourning. Sunday morning is a time of celebration. Because you see, Sunday morning rolls around, and the darkest day for the enemy was not Friday night, it was Sunday morning. Because that's when Jesus stepped out of the tomb and he walked out and he's alive today, as alive today as he ever was. So this morning, it's Easter. And I'm excited. I love Easter. Not because we have bigger crowds or not because we get to dress up a little bit, but because it is the day that defines Christianity. It is the time that defines who you are in Christ. If you have that relationship with Jesus, today defines you. If you are here today and you don't have that relationship with him, today could be a defining moment for you as well. So as I was walking around this morning and I was in the lobby talking to people and looking at the big board we have out there that says Jesus is, and I saw all the words written on the board. I love it. I love to see what Jesus is to some of you guys. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done that, do that on your way out. Write down one word that describes who Jesus is to you. I saw words like forgiveness, salvation, freedom, hope. I saw words like addiction breaker. Man, those are powerful words. Those are words that define us and define who God is in each of us. Those come from places of experience. That's what those words mean. They come from places that you've been before. Your word is what you experienced through him. So personally, when I look back at my life, I've seen one word that has been important to me and still is today. A word that describes Jesus to me and continues to be for me a word that gives me promise. And although we may not be able to fully grasp what God is doing, we know that he is still alive and still at work. That word for me is hope. I was thinking about that this Easter season. What's something that I can talk about? What's something we can talk about that maybe we don't talk about all the time, and that word is hope. I look at the world today. I look at the nonsense going on in the world today. I look at all the disarray, all the problems that are going on. I think, we are in a world that has lost its hope. We are in a world that seems hopeless. But here's the thing, and I've said it 100 times, nobody is hopeless. You're just without hope. The world we live in today, no matter what we see going on the news, is not hopeless. It's just without hope. Someone once wrote, "Totally without hope, one cannot live. To live without hope is to cease to live." People go through life every day feeling hopeless. There is a mental health pandemic going on right now in our world. I personally struggle, and if you go to this church, you've heard me say it before, I personally struggle with major anxiety. And I can tell you that it's hope that keeps me waking up and getting out of bed each morning. It is the hope that I have. Depression, anxiety, and fear, they live here today. They live in this world today. But today, this Easter Sunday, this day in which Christians all over the world celebrate the resurrected Savior, is a day of hope. But what about those who don't know Jesus? Because see, those of us that are Christians, or those of us that say that we are Christ followers, we have this hope and we kind of understand it. If you don't understand it fully, you get the idea of it and you're maybe working through that. So you understand hope that you have in Christ. But what about those who don't? What about those who don't know Jesus? See, today this message is for two people. Because a lot of times what we'll do is we'll take an Easter service and we'll say, okay, today is all about anybody in this room that don't know Jesus. It absolutely is. But I will say this, today is for two people groups. Those who haven't met Jesus and those who need to introduce Jesus to other people. That's the two people groups that are in this room right now. If you have a relationship with God, if you are in Christ, you are the one that needs to introduce other people to Jesus. Because how much do we hate another human being if we don't share the hope that we have in a Savior? That's just sobering thoughts. If you have found that hope in your life and your life has changed because of it, why wouldn't we share it with other people? Maybe you do. But today, my goal is to present Jesus as the hope of the world to those who wander and to present Jesus as the hope of the world that is to be shared. In this difficult and often confusing world that we live in, hope for a lot of people is something that seems to be in short supply. I would even go as far as to say that in a world of pain, grief, and sadness, of complex family relationships, of problems at work, along with a ton of other things like hardships of life causing depression, anxiety, loneliness, hope for a lot of people is dead. It seems that way. So I want to share with you a portion of Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't, we'll have it on the screen. But it's found in Romans. In Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 through 4, this is what it says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. When we meet Jesus through faith, because that's basically how salvation takes place, we recognize that we have entered into a relationship that requires that we grow and develop character as we live life. That character develops in three major areas: experience, endurance, and encouragement. That's how it produces, or that's how it develops. In the book of Romans, the word hope occurs 15 times and is connected with perseverance by faith. Tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So perseverance through hardships. How many know that's hard? That's hard to persevere when you're going through, honestly, when you're going through hell on earth. It is hard to keep pressing on. The problem is that that's Christian lingo. It is for believers anyway. If you weren't raised in the church, there's a lot of things that we say in the church. It's almost like a country club type thing where if I speak, it's like we're speaking Klingon to each other. And people outside the church walk in and go, I don't know what you're talking about. Especially in this generation we're living in right now, who actually, I read something the other day that said churches across America have 30% less attendees in this time period that we're living in right now. They're 30% down in churches across America. Why is that? Well, one of the reasons is because they're tired of religion. Organized religion bothers people. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for almost 25 years. Organized religion bothers me. It bothers me because we focus so much on what we're supposed to do than what we're supposed to know, if that makes sense, or who we're supposed to know. Christianity is not about religion at all. It's about relationship. You see, religion is what killed Jesus. If you think about it, the Pharisees went after Jesus because he wasn't religious like they were. He might not have been following all the rules like they thought they were supposed to. The problem is that they didn't have a heart for the Father. They had a heart for ritualistic behavior, and that is what's pushing a generation away right now as we speak. And it's scary. It's scary to think that. That's why churches are down right now. It's because of this idea that religion is a certain thing. And we have to break the mold of religion. I did not wear this jacket on my third time this year to impress God. I wore it because I like it. You dress up because you want to, not because you're trying to impress God. So let's not go there. Let's not try to filter that. We need to dress up nice for church to impress Jesus. No, what impresses Jesus is when you're laying here weeping at an altar, no matter what your life has been looking like lately. That's what impresses Jesus. As a believer or a Christian, do we understand that hardships ultimately produce hope as our character is built through those hardships? As an unbeliever, the need is for an understanding that without Christ, true hope is impossible. It's impossible. That hopeless feeling will remain even when everything is going your way. I know people that have a lot of money, but they don't have Jesus, and they still search for something that's going to make them happy. Why is that? There's something to this gospel thing. I know people that have ran away from God, that are no longer following Jesus anymore, that are doing everything, well, they are. They're living a life full of blasphemy of God, just totally against God in their lifestyle and the way they talk and everything else. And they're some of the most miserable people in the world. Why is that? Because they have lost where their hope was once a part of their life. They've lost Jesus. They've lost that hope in Jesus. So God says, character builds hope. See, God doesn't think like us. He doesn't think like us at all. We think that when we have hope, character is built. But God says character is what builds hope. That's backwards to our normal rational thinking. In Romans, we see difference in thinking that God presents. So first off, God says hope sustains us when the odds appear against us. We say our thinking says that hope appears when all is well. So if everything in life is going good, we must be full of hope. No, but God says just the opposite. God says hope produces joy because it looks beyond the immediate circumstances to a promise from God. We say that happiness produces joy and gives us hope. There's a difference between joy and happiness. We can be happy and not have the joy of the Lord. You can have happiness when you find $1 million. Lord Jesus, make me happy. But here's the thing. Our joy is only found in the hope that we have in Christ. That's the only place that joy, true joy, can happen. God says hope overcomes disappointment because there is the knowledge of God's love no matter what. We say that hope is present when disappointment is absent. I feel hopeless right now because I'm just disappointed. That's the human mind thinking. God thinks different than us. One of the most tragic things for a person to lose is hope, or feel that there is no basis for hope. I asked a question the other day on social media, and the answers I got were eye-opening. Now listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm 46 years old, and I'm not a TikToker. But I'm dabbling TikTok. Just want to see what it's all about, right? I get on there, and I ask a friend of mine who has like 30,000 followers or something. Dude, how'd you get so many followers? He said, do stupid stuff and record it. Really? He said, yep, honestly. Okay. I mean, you see people in there teaching you how to fold a shirt, and they got 1 million followers and likes and comments and everything. I'm like, what could you possibly be commenting about? I like the way you did that. I can't get my arm to not crease when I do that. I mean, what are you doing? Get a job. So I did a TikTok video. It's not professional. Literally sitting in my car, holding the phone at the Walmart pickup, waiting for them to come out. And I thought, isn't that the greatest place to decide to do a TikTok video, right? I'm going to do a TikTok video in a Walmart parking lot waiting to pick up my groceries. By the way, that's from Jesus. I'm not going to get into Walmart, but Walmart pickup. So I'm doing a TikTok video, right? And I just proposed this question. I said, okay, so what could the church do today that would reach the next generation, that we could do better to reach a generation? What should the church do differently to reach people? I'm going to read you one comment. And I'm sitting there and I have reactions. Everybody has reactions, right? This is what she said. I don't know her. She's not from here. I don't know who she is. She commented, she said, stop existing. That's what they need to do. Seriously. No one needs the church. No one. It's all a scam. With all due respect, if they did more good than bad, I wouldn't say this. Okay, so we look at that, and the first reaction is, how dare you? The church is created to bring hope to a dying world. What she's seeing is the church is not bringing hope to a dying world. The church is sucking the life out of a dying world, is what she's saying. Secondly, more understanding reaction, this person hasn't experienced hope. She's hurting. She feels hopeless, and she's not receiving it from the people that she feels like should be offering it. That's what I see. People that feel hopeless are not, in fact, hopeless. They are just without hope. It's important for us to understand that God never promised us a life free from problems. So Christian, non-Christian, whatever, atheist, it doesn't matter what you are or where you're at in this room right now, I'm going to tell you this. God never promised a life without problems. But what he did promise is that throughout those problems and throughout the hell that you may be living in right now, I will walk through it with you and hold you up as you go as the power that you have in your life that sustains you. That's what I will do. It's important for us to understand that. People who love and serve God are not immune to trouble. In fact, Psalm 34 mentions how righteous people will have difficulties, but God will help them through it. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God is looking for you. He is looking for you right where you're at. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't have that relationship, listen, he sees you. And he is searching for you, and he is relentlessly pursuing you. And you are not here by accident. And I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about sitting right here in Bethel Church's sanctuary. You're not here by accident. Because God and the Holy Spirit want to speak to you today. The ones who belong to Jesus, who've given their lives to him, will go through difficult times, but God delivers. Those who don't know him will go through difficult times and hopeless feelings will overpower them. There's a difference. Both go through difficult times, but only one has the hope in Christ that to get them through it, and the other has got that feeling of hopelessness. But they're not hopeless. They're just without hope. It's the difference between having hope and feeling hopeless. Today on Easter Sunday, we celebrate the risen Savior. The one who died and rose again that we might have eternal life. He came to this earth and knew that what his mission was. To give his life as the final sacrifice so that the death he suffered would cleanse us from sins, making us right and acceptable to God. No one in this room, I don't care if you've been saved for 100 years, nobody in this room deserves salvation. But God saw a humanity that he loved more than anything, and he sent his son to die on the cross. And don't forget the fact that 3 days later, he rose again so that we might have eternal life through him. Jesus knew that his disciples, those people that followed him, would have a hard time accepting this. So understanding what was ahead, he tried to prepare them. He said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and a heart. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot. So don't be afraid. I know a lot of Christians today that are fearful of what's going on in the world. They watch the news and I'm like, oh. And I saw something the other day, and I'm not going to get into all this news stuff with you today. It's not the time. But I saw something, and the first thought in my mind was, wow, the clock just sped up. Because I think Jesus' return is close. Been saying it for years, it is. But here's the thing. Have we done all we can now to reach those who don't know him? Have we done everything we can? No, there's still work to do. So Christian in the room, I'm telling you right now, there's still work to do. But we do not want to spread religion. We want to spread relationship. We don't want to spread judgment. We want to spread repentance and show people what it means to repent from your sins. Salvation, which you will get that chance to receive today, it will cost you one thing. I'm pretty straightforward guy, so I'm going to be honest with you. I want to be as honest as I can. It's going to cost you one thing. It's going to cost you your will. That's salvation. It costs you your will. Salvation is when you say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior, and I understand that when you died on the cross, you rose again. And today, at this moment, I relinquish my will and my kingship over my life to you. That's what salvation is. See, everybody wants salvation. Everybody. You can't tell me, you can't sit here in this room right now and say you don't want salvation. Salvation is your path to heaven. Everybody wants it. But very few want a Lord. Because salvation is not only a Savior, but it's also making Him Lord of your life. Salvation is receiving the gift of forgiveness because of what He did, not because of what we did. It is also giving ourselves over to Jesus as Lord of our lives, not us. In John 16:33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that you may have peace in me. In the world you will have problems, but have hope. I have overcome the world. And if Jesus lives in me, the power I have inside of me is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I know right now that I can overcome as well with him inside of me. So my hope is found in him. Through me, you can overcome as well. There are two kinds of hope in this world. One, there's hope. Two, there's false hope. False hope is when we go to the store and buy a lottery ticket with our last bit of money that we have in our pocket. That's false hope, right? We can get a lot of amens on that one. False hope is when you apply for a job you already know that you aren't qualified for. I'm going to apply for a brain surgeon tomorrow. I'm just hoping I can get the salary, but I know right now somebody's going to die. That's false hope. False hope is thinking money, fame, and all the riches of the world will bring joy to your life. No, it will bring you happiness for a short amount of time, and then eventually you will still be searching to find true joy that you'll never find. So if you're running on false hope, today is a great day to find out. Now think about a house. Okay, so let's think about a house for a minute. Imagine we have two houses side by side, okay? One is built with zero foundation. All right, it's just walls and that's it. The other is built on a strong, concrete, firm foundation. They both look the same from the outside, but the one with no foundation will not last when the storm comes rolling in. It's not going to last. Hope is the same way. A false hope is worse than no hope. Because rather than feeling hopeless, we have this false sense that we are full of hope, and then disaster strikes and our life goes down the toilet. So having no hope is better than having false hope. Hope is one of those things that is always questioned. In my time as pastor, not of this church, but as a pastor in 24 years, I've always heard this question. I've heard it more times than I can count. How can I find hope in such a dying world? How can I find hope? Because everybody's focus is on what's going on in the world. How can I find that? For 3 or more years, I've had this stirring within me to see revival break out in our city, in our nation, in our world, in our church. I want to see the roof blow off this place because the presence of God is so strong. I want to see people in our city come to know Jesus because of Bethel. I want to see that, not because of anything special, but because we are seeking God and we are a church that seeks God. I want to see that. That's been my vision and my goal for years. I want an outpouring of the presence of God so bad I can't stand it. I know a lot of people in our church are the same way. Andrew Murray once said, a revived church is the only hope for a dying world. A revived church, a church that pushes religion away. I don't need religion. I don't need that stuff. I don't need to be judged about how I dress when I come to church on Sundays. I don't need that stuff. What I need is a Jesus. I need a Savior. I need to offer hope to a world that is dying. Crime, debauchery, selfishness, and sin of all kinds run rampant in our communities. Hope is something that plays a critical role in the human life. My job today, Easter Sunday, is not to preach a message that is just an Easter Sunday message. My job today is to guide people to Jesus. If you've been a Christian your entire life, you still need Jesus. Lord God, I say all the time, Jesus, I need you. Every day, that's my first thing that comes out of my mind, my mouth. Jesus, I need you. If you're lost and feeling hopeless today, you need Jesus. Maybe you've ran away from God and you've said, I don't need that anymore. I'm here to tell you right now, greatest decision you could ever make is to follow Jesus. I'm sure you hear every pastor say that. But I come from a place where I know what it was like to feel hopeless. I know what it was like to be at the bottom, the end of my rope. I know what it was like. And I remember that Tuesday evening, pulling off the side of the road and Jesus just filling my car as I gave my heart to him on the side of the road. I remember that like it was yesterday. If you're in here today and you've ran from God, maybe you're just completely lost, meaning you don't have a relationship with him and you haven't had one with him. Maybe you're just struggling. I'm here to tell you right now, problems in life will not stop, but it's so much easier to walk through them when Jesus is right there with you than it is by yourself. True hope is found in relationship with Jesus. Hope for eternal life, hope for healing, hope for revival, hope for freedom, hope for grace, hope for mercy, hope for forgiveness. It's only found in him. There's no other name by which we can be saved. There is no other way to heaven. Despite what the world might tell you, there is no other way but through the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who died on a cross and rose again for you. That is the only way. Jesus is salvation. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It is through the death and resurrection of Jesus that we have hope. Do you know if Jesus just died and he never rose from the dead, we would still have no hope. It was the two together. He died and bled for our sins, for the forgiveness of the world. He rose again that we might have eternal life. It went together. It was an event that went together. If you're here today, you're struggling. Your hope is found in Christ alone. If you're here today and you can't get past your past, Jesus is here to save, deliver, and free you from bondage. If you're here today and you're in need of a Savior, today has been ordained for you to receive forgiveness and salvation. Will you stand with me today? We do this thing here at Bethel where this is one of those moments where I'm going to offer something to you, and it's not more candy. You can have more later, but not right now. If you're here today and you say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, I need to meet him. Or maybe you say, I've ran from God. And I need to come back. I need to come back to Him. This is the greatest, potentially the greatest day of your life, right now. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to be brave today. Here's why I do this. You hear it different ways. You hear, bow your heads, close your eyes, nobody looking around, nobody saying anything, don't touch the person next to you, don't care what they're doing. I mean, you just this whole rambling thing. Here's my thing. The church, where you're at right now, is a very safe place. And it's a joy for me and other people to see someone come to Christ or to come back to Christ. It is a joy. And if you can't, in a room full of safety, make a decision to follow Jesus, it's going to be very difficult out there to make a decision to follow Jesus. So I don't ask people to bow your heads and close your eyes. I say this, if that's you today and you say, I need a relationship with Jesus or I need to come back to Him, those two things, I'm going to ask you to be brave and I'm going to ask you to step out from where you're at and just come meet me at the front. We have a few people that we just want to pray with you. Nothing weird, we just want to pray with you. But if that's you, I'm going to ask you, and I know you got to be brave because it's hard to do. But I remember when I did it. I remember my grandfather telling me about his salvation story. My grandfather just passed away this year. He loved God, a man of God, and I remember him telling me the story of him sitting in the back row of a little Baptist church, knocking down chairs to get to the front. He made all kinds of noise to get to the front because he felt the Holy Spirit just tugging on his heart. So I'm going to ask you to step out from where you're at, and I'm going to ask you to walk up here. And we got some prayer team. We got some people here that want to pray with you. Just step out and walk up here. Listen, there's nothing weird. I'm right here. There's nothing weird. Just come up to the front. Be brave, man. Be brave. It's the best decision of your life. Are you running from God? Have you done that? Have you ran from God and you said, you know what? I need to come back. I need to quit playing games. I need to come back. Step out from where you're at. Just make your way up front. I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes, and then we'll move on. We'll be done. You can get some candy or go eat your lunch or whatever you want to do. But this is a critical moment. So, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we sit here and we contemplate, Lord, as we think about our relationship with You, as we think about where we're at in our relationship with You. God, as some of the hearts in this room are beating very fast, I pray, God, that You'll let them know that that's Your Spirit just drawing them, Lord. You're just pulling them. Lord God, the love You have for the souls in this room, God, reveal that to each and every one of us. We'll wait about 10 more seconds for anybody who'd like to step out and come up. Then we're going to close.
If you would like to learn more about our church or give to our ministry, please visit our website at bethel.ag.